Savior. Amen. Well, today is the second Sunday in Advent. And as we learned last Sunday, Advent is the season of waiting. Advent is the time for us to focus on Jesus and how He came to us in the past, how He comes to us in the present, and how He will come again for us in the future. In fact, ever since the beginning of the world, believers have been waiting for Jesus. Last Sunday we learned about Eve and how she was waiting for Jesus. After Adam and Eve sinned against God, God gave them a promise of a Savior. In Genesis 3, verse 15, we read how God rebuked both the serpent and the devil who used the serpent to tempt Adam and Eve, and He rebuked them by these words. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now, by these words, God cursed the devil who had used the serpent to tempt Adam and Eve to rebel against God. God said that the woman would give birth to a male child who would crush the power of the devil. Now, of course, Eve was very excited about this unexpected, merciful promise. She was so excited that when she first became pregnant with her first child, she named the boy Cain, and then she said, "I have the man, the Lord." Now, why did she say that? She said that because Eve thought that she was the woman that God promised, and that Cain was the male child He promised, and she called her son the Lord because she assumed that he would have to be God in human flesh, because only God can crush the devil. But Eve soon realized that she was not the woman, and that Cain was not God, because Cain was a sinner just like her and his father. So Eve began waiting for Jesus. And from that time on in history, various women were wondering if they could be the woman. But you might wonder, how did any one of these women know that she even had a chance to be the woman? Well, the reason is that God revealed to them the family line from which the Savior would come into the world. If you recall, in last Sunday's gospel reading from Luke chapter 3, in that chapter, Luke gave us a genealogy. Luke starts with Mary, and he traces Mary's male ancestors all the way back to the first human, Adam. And part of that genealogy included a very important man named Abraham. Now, in today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1, we find, guess what? Another genealogy. However, unlike Luke, who starts with Mary and traces her male ancestors back to Adam, Matthew begins with Abraham and moves forward to Joseph. But when Matthew gets to Joseph, did you notice he says something rather interesting? He says, "Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus." So just like Luke's gospel, Matthew makes it clear that Joseph really had nothing to do with Jesus' birth, other than that he was the husband of Mary, who was a virgin when Jesus was conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit. So both Matthew and Luke's genealogies have this in common: Mary is the virgin mother of Jesus. Now, having said that, I want to point out that Abraham is also a very important person in both genealogies that we find in Matthew and in Luke. Now, allow me to explain why this is. If you read Genesis chapter 12, you will discover that at that time in history, the world was filled with unbelievers who were not waiting for Jesus. But God in His mercy intervened, and He chose a man named Abram, and He planned to use him to bring the Savior into the world. So in Genesis chapter 12, we read these words that God spoke to Abram. He said, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Simply put, God was saying that the Savior of the world would be one of Abram's descendants. There was only one problem, though. Abram and his wife Sarah, at that time named Sarai, had never been able to have children their whole lives. Tried, but no success. And now they were both very elderly. So how could the Savior of the world be descended from them if they didn't even have a child? So they waited to see how God would keep His promise. Well, the years went by until Abraham was 99 years old. In our first reading from Genesis chapter 17, we see that God appeared to Abram and He said, "No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Now, Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of many. God also spoke these words. He said, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name is Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her." But again, there was only one problem. Abraham was just shy of 100 years old, and Sarah was in her 90s. Then we're told that Abraham laughed. Sadly, he wasn't sure that God could pull this off. So God spoke again. He said, "Your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac." And by the way, that name Isaac means laughter. This was God's way of reminding them not to laugh at His plans. So Abraham and Sarah kept on waiting for God to keep His promise. And if you go ahead to Genesis chapter 18, we read how God on one day comes and visits Abraham's home, but God comes to him in bodily form as a human. And God says, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now, Sarah was inside the tent overhearing this conversation between the Lord and Abraham, and we're told in the Bible that she laughed also. In fact, here's what Sarah said to herself. She said, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" But the Lord knew what Sarah was thinking, and He said, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Well, God did keep His promise. In Genesis chapter 21, we read about the birth of Isaac, whose name means laughter. In Genesis 21, verses 6 and 7, we read these words of Sarah. "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." So, Isaac is the son of Abraham. You see, Isaac is the next link in the chain, the family chain that leads to the woman who will give birth to the Savior who will bless all people. Just as Eve was waiting for Jesus, Sarah was also waiting for Jesus. In fact, God strengthened Sarah's faith in the coming Savior when He gave her Isaac in her old age. Sarah learned that nothing is Lord. However, in Genesis chapter 22, we read how God did something shocking. He seems to call all His promises into question. God comes to Abraham and He tells him to kill Isaac and offer him to God as a sacrifice. Now, why would God ask Abraham to do this? Didn't God say that the Savior of the world would be descended through Isaac? I mean, what was Abraham going to tell Sarah? Could they even trust God anymore? Well, as you know, Abraham continued to trust God even when it appeared that God was going back on His promise. Abraham continued to believe that God would keep His promise and that the Savior would be a descendant of Isaac. But you might wonder, how could Abraham believe that when God asked him to kill Isaac? How do you reconcile that? Well, we find the answer in Hebrews chapter 11, where we read these words about Abraham. Listen to this. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Now, those of you who remember the story know that God did not allow Abraham to kill Isaac. Just as Abraham had raised his hand to plunge the knife into his son, before the knife went down, God sent an angel to stop his arm, and He prevented Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. So you might wonder, why in the world did God put Abraham through that horrible experience? My friends, God did this to strengthen Abraham's faith. You see, God wanted Abraham to learn to trust the Lord even when it seemed that the Lord was going back on His promises. But you still might wonder, why did God choose that particular test? Killing your own son, why would He ask Abraham to do that? Well, isn't it obvious? God wanted Abraham and us to know what it would be like for God to actually sacrifice His own son. You see, the sacrifice of Isaac is a picture of the actual sacrifice of Jesus, God offering His own son on the cross. Just think of it for a second. What Abraham was not allowed to do, God did. My friends, Isaac was not the male child born of the woman. That's why God did not allow Abraham to kill him. Isaac was merely one link in the chain leading up to Mary, the virgin mother of Jesus, the Son of God, who would bless all peoples by dying on the cross in our place of damnation. And even though Sarah was not the woman, she still experienced a miracle from God. Not only did Sarah give birth in her old age, after years of not even being able to have children, but even more, her son Isaac was a link in the chain leading to the woman whose child would crush Satan by his sacrificial death. Now, after giving you all that background information, how does this all apply to us today? You know, sadly, there are people today who think that studying biblical history is a waste of time. They think it's either a fairy tale, or even if they think it's true, they think it's outdated information that doesn't relate to our lives today. But my friends, that's a sinful attitude. The reason is that we've learned that biblical history is His story. And His story has great relevance for our lives today. My friends, learned that Eve was waiting for Jesus. We've learned that Sarah was waiting for Jesus. So the question is, are you waiting for Jesus? Last Sunday we learned that throughout biblical history there were many people who ignored God's word and did not wait for Jesus. And my friends, the devil wants us to do the same. And sadly, he's having success with a lot of people. The devil wants us to get comfortable with our sin. The devil wants us to forget that we're in desperate need of a Savior every day, every moment that we live. The devil wants us to forget that God actually kept His promise in Genesis when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. We are in the Advent season, which helps us prepare to celebrate Christmas by teaching us to wait for Jesus. But are we waiting for Jesus? We should wait for Jesus by living the baptized life. And if you recall, during September, October, and November, we learned that living the baptized life means, one, living in daily repentance and contrition over our sin. Two, daily trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And three, daily striving by God's grace to turn from sin and live according to God's will. But so often we find ourselves making excuses for our sin and focusing on a million other things instead of waiting for Jesus with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. I'm afraid we forget that God kept His promise and that Jesus did come into the world in the past. We also forget that Jesus enters our lives right now through baptism, through the preaching of His Word, through His body and blood and Holy Communion. We also forget that Jesus will come again in the future, whether we're ready or not. I'm afraid we're all guilty of failing to wait for Jesus as we ought. In fact, we might even be tempted to laugh at God's word, as Abraham and Sarah did. However, my friends, the good news for us sinners is that God continues to enter our lives. Just as God reached out throughout history by intervening and speaking His word and calling people to repentance and faith, in the same way He speaks His word to you today, calling you to repentance and faith. He turns our hearts and minds to His Son, Jesus. He gives us new hearts that wait for Jesus and that long for the mercy, love, and life that only He can give us. My friends, even though Abraham and Sarah were guilty of laughing at God's promises, God was able to bring them to repentance and give them a strong faith in their coming Savior. In fact, that's why Paul wrote what he did in our reading from Romans chapter 4. Listen again to what he says. He says, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what He had promised. Now, did you notice something? Paul didn't mention a word about Abraham's sinful laughter. He writes as though Abraham was a perfect believer and never doubted. But we know that's not true, so why is there no mention of Abraham's sinful laughter? The answer is this. When God forgives your sin, He forgets your sin. Like Abraham, we're sinners and we've rebelled against God many times over. But when God brings us to repentance and faith in Christ, all those sins are washed away, and God only sees the good He has worked in us. That's why Paul was able to write the same thing about us in Romans 4 when he says, For us who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, He was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. So Eve was waiting for Jesus. Sarah was waiting for Jesus. They were waiting for the woman who would give birth to the male child, who would crush the power of the devil and bless all people. And, you know, God kept His promise. That's why during this Advent season we prepare to celebrate the fact, not the fairy tale, but the fact that our Savior was born of the Virgin Mary. But even though Jesus came in the past, we're still waiting for Him. You see, Jesus continues to come to us in the present. As I said, He comes to us in the waters of baptism. He speaks to us with His Word, which is why it's so important to gather here like this, to hear His Word. He also gives us His body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Jesus comes to us in the present, and we wait in faith for Him to eagerly do that. We also wait for Jesus to come again in the future. He will return in glory one day, and He will give eternal life to those who are waiting for Him in faith. Therefore, we live each day waiting to receive that blessed hope. And the reason we have that blessed hope is that God kept His promise when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Next Sunday, we will learn about Elizabeth. Yet another important woman in His story. Elizabeth had been waiting for Jesus. But little did Elizabeth know that she would be the mother of the one foretold in Scripture, the one who would prepare the way for the Lord. But you'll have to wait until next Sunday to hear that wonderful story. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.